Yes, Rick, you can start.
Okay. We had a great time talking and connecting, and then some Q&A and questions after last week. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. And, you know, there's so many facets of my life and story that I could tell. But I talked last week a little bit, just to, for those of you that maybe were not there, on, you know, kind of a direction, God's direction for my life that led me to Universal Studios, and just the miraculous things that happened that created an opportunity there that, you know, I could have probably never negotiated myself, as God went before me. And in that, the opportunity that I had to really share my faith and live my faith there in that place. And, you know, we started to get into this direction and didn't. But today, what I would love to talk about a little more is prayer and God's direction through prayer. And I really do believe, you know, that guidance and direction that we get in making that this a priority. And we just prayed before we started this today. You know, in everything that we do is so important. I find the times that I've kind of just said, you know what, I've got this one, God. I'm going to go do this on my own, are usually the times I wind up flat on my face. And the times when I am seeking His guidance and direction, I find that there is peace, there's direction, there's wisdom, there's focus, and usually God, shows up and things happen in the way they should. And you know, in thinking about that, I remember someone saying, I grew up in Charlotte. I know you guys are probably from all over the place, and Victoria, you're not too far from there, I don't think, today, if you're at the KBA office. But Billy Graham, who obviously has his headquarters in Charlotte now, was asked, you know, toward the end of his life, if you could do it over again, you know, all the stuff that you've accomplished, all the things that you've done, what's the one thing that you would change? What's the one thing that you regret that maybe you didn't do? Or maybe you know, what is that one thing? And without hesitating, you know, here's this guy who literally changed the world with his ministry and with his voice and with the anointing that God gave him and the opportunity God gave him. And without question, he said prayer. He said, I would pray more. He says, that's where it's at. And number one priority. And looking at that, you know, we look at, you know, it's funny, when you go to wisdom, you always wind up in Proverbs, it seems like. When you go to searching and guidance, you wind up in Psalms, because David did a lot of that. But and I want to just throw a couple scriptures out that really have meant a lot to me in that regard. You know, in Proverbs 16:3, where it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Boy, how powerful is that? Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And then it goes on to say in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we may have our own dreams, our own ideas, our own thoughts, but as we seek and focus ourselves on what He has to do, His purpose prevails. I think about that a lot in many of the deals that I've done and the opportunities that I've had. And you know, as I talked about last week, with Universal Studios, the deal that I was given there to kind of launch, you know, that part of my life, I could have never negotiated. I don't think I would have even known how to negotiate that. But obeying God, walking away, and then this was laid out before me as an amazing gift. One other scripture that means a whole lot to me, and this one is in Psalms 37, 7, and then add 34 to that. And it just says, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Wait for the Lord and keep His ways. And then it goes on in 43 to say, He will exalt you to inherit the land. And again, I think it's the idea of being still, waiting, taking the time. As we start our day, as we start a conference call, we start a business decision or whatever it is, to be still, to take that time to say, God, show up. God, be a part of what we're doing today, and help us to be the kind of people that can be ambassadors for you, and the kind of people that can be representatives of who you are to those around us. You know, in our discussions and our focus and our energy and the way that we care for others. And then one final scripture that probably sums it all up in Proverbs 36:3-6, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. I think that is one of my most favorite verses. I know I spend a lot of time, thinking about that and meditating on that every day as I'm going before the Lord. And one of the great things that I've enjoyed about, some of the projects that we've developed over the years and the films that I've been able to be a part of is that corporate connectivity. When you get, 200 people that are all talented in some way as an actor or as a camera person or as a light person, or maybe they're a servant and they're someone that's just serving lunch or serving crafts to craft services to the people that are working. But and that coming together and that collaboration of things to bathe that, and to come together in prayer. And I've asked Michael Seibel to come and join us today. And one of the things I've enjoyed most about Michael, he's a very, very talented director that UCLA film grad, is the focus that he has on God's direction and God's guidance and acknowledging him as he directs the path. And one thing that we did on this recent film that we just finished, The Mulligan, every morning we would invite someone to pray and to kind of do a little short devotional and share something that's going on in their life, and you got to know people, you got to hear their heart, and more than anything else, we got to pray for things around us that we were facing, elements that were going on. We were making this movie in the middle of probably one of the worst possible times you could ever do that and get 200 people together, because it was in the middle of a big pandemic with COVID. The unions give us so many different things that we have to follow when you do that with protocols and masks and testings and everything else. And there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear. And it's difficult to do our job anyway. And then you layer all these things on top of it. But it was so important and so meaningful. And I looked forward to it. I was usually the first guy up and the first guy there and having my time alone before the crew got there. And then us taking that time to pray and to seek God for our day, for what was going on. And I appreciated that so much in Michael and his leadership in that way, because not every director that I've ever worked with would have enjoyed that or even partaken in that. But it's certainly, when you're aligned in that way and you know what your direction is, it's so important. And as we wrap up the call today, I would like to maybe appeal to you folks in regards to prayer, because that's something that I know we're seeking as we move this product, now that's completed, to reach the world with an incredible message. And I'll share a little bit about that again, but I thought I'd give Michael an opportunity to talk for a few minutes. I know we've been dealing with our faith in the marketplace. Michael, as a UCLA film grad, as a person that's worked in the trenches, that's been a part of a lot of products that maybe were not so faith-based, and then many that are, but in every instance, walking that tightrope of living your faith, living your life in that community. So Michael, maybe speak to that for a few minutes too. And let me introduce you now to my favorite director, Michael Seibel.
Well, thank you, Rick. That's quite the introduction. And I'll just have a few minutes. Would that be appropriate?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I'm in Wisconsin right now in a parking lot of a hockey arena where my son played two wonderful periods, and I'm hoping that they win. They were ahead by two goals, so I'm confident I can be on this call. I did spend, although I'm in Wisconsin, I spent most of my adult life on the West Coast. And Rick mentioned I went to UCLA, the film school there. When I applied to UCLA, I thought I would put God to the test. Some people might call it a fleece. I wrote on my application for the essay part that I wanted to make movies that spread the name of Jesus Christ around the world. And when my mother read that, she was horrified and thought that I might get into Oral Roberts, one of those names. And so she didn't have much hope. But on Easter Sunday weekend, I got the acceptance letter that I was one out of 19 out-of-state applicants accepted, out of thousands of applicants. So I knew that that God had honored that prayer. And when I graduated, I wrote to the Billy Graham organization. I said, here I am, send me, right out of Isaiah. And they laughed and said, we don't know who you are, and you're not even in a union. Well, I started doing a number of secular films then as a writer, and ultimately I met an actor named John Shepherd, who was a producer also for Billy Graham, and he got me directing Billy Graham movies. So it's always, even if you're knocked off your game a little bit, if you're supposed to be someplace, I've always had faith that, that God will find a way. So I've also had the opportunity to work for Charles Colson with Prison Fellowship when he was alive, and he became a friend and a mentor for me. And so I'm very Colson-esque in my worldview. About 15 years ago, I had the good fortune of directing a Bible epic in India called One Night with the King, with Omar Sharif and Peter O'Toole and a number of other big screen actors. And not long after that, somewhere in there, I met Rick, and he had a golf movie, and I was asked to audition to be director, and it was a thrill, and I didn't get the job. As I was driving away, in Culver City, California, I said, God, I'd be praising you to the highest mountains if I got this job, but shouldn't I be praising you anyway? And the answer was yes. So I just praised God all the way home, and not long after that, Rick had another movie going called The Ultimate Gift, called me. We did the usual audition stuff, but in the end, it was, I got the job and put my heart into it. Even though that wasn't necessarily a faith-based movie, the values are pretty intact and they're pretty solid. And the faith-based community has warmly received that film. That was with James Garner and Brian Dennehy and a few others. So the thing about faith in the marketplace is that when I was working on about parts of 40 to 50 secular films as a cameraman and a second unit director, if it was the studio, we would gather the believers in the camera room or someplace near the set, and we would start off with prayer. But it was on our time. It was before we started, the clock started, so to speak, on our 10 or 12 hour days. And we gathered more people to us as time went on, and people started talking to us and engaging us. Of course, God also gave us the talent to do our craft really well. And I've always had an emphasis on trying to do things with as high a quality as possible for the Lord. I mean, would he want anything less from you? So, and then when I do Christian or faith-based films, we start the clock, and on the clock, we pray and have a word in the morning. And so the people who are with us who are not, we don't have a litmus test if somebody's a believer or non-believer. We trust that God brings us the most talented people available. And so we pray on the clock, and at people approach us and actually start giving us prayer requests before the shoot is up. So that's kind of the short version of my story and faith in the marketplace. And not long ago, just before COVID hit, Rick called me and he said, golf movie. And I said, yes. But I had no idea that it was a faith-based golf movie until, of course, Rick sent me the script and I read the original book. I happened to be in a faith-based men's group at a country club in Los Angeles called Lynx. And when I read the book and got engaged with the film, I contacted the writer of the book, Wally Armstrong. I said, "Hey, Wally, I'm in a group called Lynx." And Wally goes, "Yeah, right. I started that group." So it came full circle that, again, I had the, you know, the stamp I just knew that this was where I was supposed to be. And we struggled through the production with things put up our noses and, you know, all these tests to see if we had this disease. But in Psalm 91, we had over about 200 people and no plague came near our tent. So we give God thanks for that. And with that, I think I'm done. If anybody has any questions, or Rick, if you want to take it from there.
Yeah, that's, talk about the power of prayer. I mean, here we are in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, we were like, you know, okay, this is the lesser version. We're in the middle of the deep throes of it, with 200, 250 people working together side by side, many times not socially distanced because they couldn't be because we were, you know, were locked in for, you know, 45 days, some of us, you know, 30 days concentrated on set every day, eating together, working together 12 hours a day. And we did not miss a day. Not one actor got sick. And we had a couple scares where we had false positives and we had to put a couple people quarantined for a few days. But, you know, that is a miracle. It's amazing to think about, you know, how God directed that. And I'd love to take a few minutes for myself, for Michael, for whatever, to answer some questions and maybe to open it up. And then I'd like to finish up with a request for you, just as we launch into the marketing of this next product for us. The one thing that we are really, really wanting to be sure that we have is that prayer warrior group. And I know you guys are people of prayer. You have a prayer call as well as a business call, and that's awesome. We really need to, with now about 30 people on our marketing team, with 1,000 screens across the country that are going to open on April the 16th, the 18th, and 19th, as an event-oriented release to drive people to theaters, to hear a message that is probably the most straightforward gospel message that I've ever been a part of on screen. Our actor literally prays to receive Christ in the movie. It's amazing. And it's done in a way that it's very non-threatening. It's not preachy. You know, Michael's crafted this in a way that it works. It just, it's a very natural the thing that, well, most of us have probably heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, been, you know, convicted by the Holy Spirit and changed and finally decided, okay, I give up. That's kind of what happened to our main character. And so you identify with that, and it's a beautiful thing. And we really want to see this film, you know, impact lives. That's why we do what we do. And, you know, our marketing team's out just beating the paths to create the awareness. You know, we're facing adversities every day, everywhere we turn, and yet, you know, we know that it's because of the message, because of what we have. And I really would love to, you know, in this, you know, meeting of prayer, to ask you to become prayer warriors for us. You know, when you think about the mulligan, which is a second chance, which is the ultimate mulligan is all of us that have had a second chance, because we're all born sinners and we're able to say, God, you know, by your grace, you know, I can be saved and I can find that mulligan, that ultimate mulligan in my life. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we wrap up. But Victoria, if you want to open the lines and anybody has any questions or anything, I'd love to take a few minutes to do that.
Everybody is unmuted. Is anybody has any questions? Because that was wonderful testimony of you, of both of their lives and also the professional lives too.
I have a question. I have two questions, actually. This is Rosa. Hi, Rick. Hi, Michael. This is Rosa from Rhode Island. Question number one, how do you typically hear from God? We know God speaks in different ways. So what's your go-to method? And question number two, last week we heard how Rick brought someone to Jesus in evangelism. And I heard that there are a lot of New Age or Scientology in Hollywood. Now, so how do you handle it when it's the opposite way, when people try to evangelize you towards their beliefs?
Great questions. Michael, you want to take that first, or you want me to go with it?
Yeah. Well, since she mentioned Scientology, when I did live in Hollywood, I moved my family back to Wisconsin from Hollywood about, 10 or 12 years ago, because I wanted my children to know their grandparents who were still alive. We're down to just one now, but just the environment and all that. Hollywood is, for some reason, it's through the ages attracted people from for movies, for radio, for TV, for rock and roll. It's like one place that's attracted people all of these years. Yet, people who are far more, shall we say, spiritually in tune, can say that there are some bad principalities and divinities hanging over Hollywood. Our enemy is known as the Prince of the Power of the Air, and one of his names. And I remember coming home one night after hanging out with some friends at about 1 or 2 in the morning, and there was a Scientology bus down on Hollywood loading up people, just loading them on. It was almost like a variation of Judgment Day. And all you can do is pray for these poor souls that are being led astray and captured, there's a lot of that. But where there is much sin, there's much grace abounds, and there are a strong group of believers in Hollywood, and very thriving churches, and they may not be, mainstream denominations, but there's a lot of goodness there too. It's just, it's that battle. And Rick, so that's my response.
Well, and taking that a little further, one thing that I find with highly competent, even senior executive people, and I shared a story about that last week, and with actors that have a high profile, is many times they're also sheltered. And it's like my executive last week, he said, I sit up here at this, big desk running this big operation, and I have nobody to talk to. There's nobody that I can turn to. And you find that with actors too, who, you look up to, and we could name names, I won't, who are the top 10 list of actors in Hollywood. And yet when you really get to know them as a person, you find a lot of times insecurities, because, here's someone that has spent their entire life getting rejected because they didn't deliver a line the right way, or they didn't look a certain way, or they're always concerned about how do they look, and do people really like me, and all of this. And then you get put up on a platform, and then you start believing, all of the things about yourself. And so when someone from a Scientology or from a whatever it happens to be, comes along and gives you that extra time and care, you're attracted to that. And so I think we as Christians, can be salt and light in that place. And Michael mentioned so many people that are in our industry who are believers and do carry that torch. I think it's really important that we are there among them, and that we care for them, and that we give them that grace and that love and that understanding of who God is. who cares about them no matter. You know, they can get a mulligan every day. there's an unlimited number of mulligans available to us. And there's comfort and there's peace in that. The first question you asked is, how do I seek God? And I went back to this scripture in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him. And I try to wake up every morning. And, you know, there's another part of my life that I'll share maybe in the next week or so that I have with you. I think I've got two more weeks with you. And it's a very personal thing that I don't share a lot in public. And I won't tell you today, so you'll come back next week and we'll hear about it. But it's a point of reference that really gives me the gift of a day every day. And it's something that I've dealt with personally all of my life, majority of my life anyway. And it's the gift of a day. Michael mentioned the ultimate gift. There were 10 gifts that really are values and virtues of life that all of them are covered with scripture. We did this movie as a general market movie, and it, God blessed it in many ways because of that, because we were able to reach people that maybe, you know, would not have turned it on if the first thing they saw was a God thing. But the gift of a day is such an important thing, and I begin every day that way, saying, you know, God, you know, I want to acknowledge you as you've given me another gift. I have it today, and all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Sometimes I get distracted, just like everybody, but I try to start there, and hopefully I'll stay on path. So that's my answer for that.
So just for a clarification question, Rick, is that something like you hear through like your small voice inside internally, or through experience or through wisdom? Am I hearing you right there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's I think as we meditate and as we take the time, you know, it's like one of the earlier scriptures I shared, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. It's in our industry and in any business, I think, you know, you're anxious to get going and you get busy with the busyness of what you do. And many times, it's harder to hear because you're tuning those things out, or you're heading where you're heading and you've already got your idea and your compass for the day. But I think it is that, you know, and God speaks through scripture. He gave us a whole book of it to read. And he certainly speaks as we quietly hear that small voice. And I got to tell you, I think many, many of the ideas that have been germinated around and become, you know, feature films or animation stories or whatever they happen to be in my life came from that still small voice. Came from that, wow, that would be a great idea. And it's all about how can we tell stories of value and virtue that have redeeming value that can make a difference. So I think that's it. I think it's allowing God to speak, giving him the time, taking the time to listen.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. So another clarification for question number two. So do they, the Scientology or the New Age, do they try to share their beliefs to you? Are they forward? I'm just trying to get a feel for it.
Yeah, maybe Michael can speak to that a little bit too. He mentioned the bus loading up people to take them to something. I think the answer is yes. I think they just like maybe anyone else are trying to get more people to join their club. And I think that in many ways they are aggressive and sometimes subtly it's a matter of, you know, people are seeking that, you know, acceptance and that caring in their own life. And these guys offer that. And many times it can be deceivingly amazing. You know, we think, wow, this person really cares about me, and it can be very meaningful. So I think, yeah, you do find, you know, we're picking on Scientology, but I think we could pick on a lot of different, brands, if you will, of religion that I think the one thing all of them are missing are the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's still alive today and living among us.
It's what they offer is a counterfeit experience, a counterfeit family, a counterfeit acceptance and adulation and all of that. And one of the biggest things that they have going for them is they've got Tom Cruise, John Travolta, and others. And I actually believe that Tom Cruise and Travolta are enslaved because one of the things you do is you hold like two soup cans in your hand and confess your sins. Well, now they have something against you. But I want to even go further is that I have run into Scientologists professionally, and they're kind of disingenuous, the upper echelon. They have almost a hollow look in their eyes, and it's almost like a bad demon film. But it's pretty important to be in a small group, to in a church, and all of the other things, being in the Word daily in the prayer, having people support you in prayer from back home. And it's Rick knows a number of the guys that were in my Thursday morning breakfast group, and we would get into the Word, and then we'd have breakfast at a local restaurant. And every now and then a guy would show up, a different guy, and not necessarily a Scientologist, but a non-believer, and they would start, mouthing off platitudes like, God helps those who help themselves, and, that type of thing, which... It was like, well, this guy's obviously not a believer. And every guy at the table, like a tuning fork, picked up, and we started gently ministering to that guy. And it's one thing to be a believer in Hollywood, but it's another thing to we have a responsibility, and there are a lot of people who are just off the mark completely and trying to do it on their own and grasping at straws. We're there. God is a multi-level marketing person in that not only does he, like say in our case, mine and Rick's, make it so that we can make a film that will reach the world, but we're also responsible for the crew member next to us, for the, the people who are come in contact with us, even the people that stick, Q-tips up our nose three times a week. We're mm-hmm. responsible to all of them, and so that's just part of the package.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for, I appreciate that you're giving examples in the, you're the frontline marketplace like the rest of us too. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that sounds not only just like a topic of your message, living your faith in the marketplace, it's like the living testimony, you two.
Yeah.
Do we have another question for Rick and Michael?
I have a question. My name is Victoria. I'm from Vidalia, Georgia. And my question is, my grandson is taking acting classes. What could you tell me to lead him into the right direction as far as film industry goes? He's in Orlando, Florida. They say he's extremely talented, and he just has the gift. He has the look, and they're willing to promote him with little or no money at all.
That's great. I'm sitting in Orlando today, so I think that's great. That's exciting. Michael, do you want to give any advice to that? I can too.
Well, I take comfort in knowing that there are no two people get in the same way. It's almost like snowflakes in the uniqueness. It's all about connections. It's about if you are like in Hollywood, I was the chairman of a Christian theater company, which we had two stages, people could audition for that and get a part. And such high quality plays and performances and productions that it drew people into the theater on a church campus to see these plays. And I found myself sitting one night next to John Landau, who is James Cameron's producer of Avatar, the Titanic, and so forth. So there are ways. I would say that number one is for him to embrace and hold on to his faith. Secondly, try to be involved in small productions, films that need actors who maybe not have a budget. But just be willing to take up any position as well. If you're not acting, you know, help with move a stand or a light or something, and just form relationships and with like-minded people, in this case, believers, and just know that there's going to be a period of time, and as his mother, you should know as well that he probably will need some financial support through this. ultimately, though, when Rick and I come into a room to cast a film like our last one and the one before, we're going to be dealing with a casting director. And there are a number of great ones out there, and somehow the casting director presents to us a lot of people who aren't necessarily exposed to the business, but they are talented and have been recognized for that. And maybe Rick can talk a little bit more about the role of the casting director. But we really rely on them to sift through the market and to find those people who are perfect for our characters and the roles that we want them to play.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think, what Michael said that I would certainly emphasize is, doing all you can do, no matter how small it is, how insignificant it is, to get, your reel or you on camera or whatever it happens to be together. That's the first thing people are going to ask is, can you show me something that you've done? So having that and growing that so you've got a representation of yourself is really important. And then I think identifying with people who their job is to get jobs for people in productions like ours. We used a fellow in Georgia, Mark Fincannon, who is the Fincannon family have been in the casting business for probably 40 plus years, both in Wilmington and in Nashville and in Atlanta, and they work on a national basis with a database of people, and we trust them. When Michael and I come into a room to cast a movie of 30 people, Mark's not going to give us 100 people to play that role. He's going to give us 3, and he's probably looked at 200. He's also going to know our heart. He's going to know what we're trying to portray in our film. And if it's someone of like faith, if it's someone who's who basically has that kind of a background, we're going to know about it. And Mark will share that. It's not a criteria. It's not something where we want to see that on your resume that you've, when you were 12, you got baptized and you've done this and you've done all, No, it's not going to be on your resume, but those are important values and virtues to know, and for someone like Mark to know. So I think finding having that material about yourself is important. Being able to get the experience, and then finding people that are involved in casting, whether it's for a commercial, whether it's for a video shoot, or for a film, or whatever it happens to be. Doing student films, every college that has a film department, every high school that has a film department, they're doing student films, and they need people, and they don't have any money, but it's a great opportunity to get involved in that. So that's my biggest thing is whatever you want to do, do it, begin now, and take that opportunity now to to build your portfolio, to build your base, to get experience. It's all about that.
Well,
I agree.
My concern is that he's 11, and I was kind of wary of who to trust and who not to trust since we're new in the industry. We have no idea on, you know, where to go and what the directions would be.
Yeah, I think that's a responsibility as a parent to guard that and watch that closely. But there are, and you'll find, you know, many others like, you know, your child who are doing this also. And as they're going to an audition, you'll be able to talk to other parents that are doing the same thing. And it's something you have to discern. I think that for the most part, you'll find good people that are looking for a specific project. And I think you have to be sensitive to the kinds of things that you will do and what you won't do. There are actors that even as they gain notoriety for what they do, they have a list of, I'm not going to do this. And I'll not do the role if this is something you're requiring me to do. And so I think having those guidelines and understanding going in and not compromising that is important.
Yeah, there's a guy out in California who, Larry Poland. Rick, did you know Larry?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he's retired. I think he's still with us, though. But Larry particularly would advise to actors, but that includes actresses in particular, is have your list of non-negotiables. These are things that I'm not going to do in advance. So if it comes up, you just say, look, I can't do that. And obviously nudity, but most of the Christian actors I know will not take the Lord's name in vain. And things like that. So if it's a film that won't respect your wishes, they'll let you know that. You won't get the job. But you will have preserved your soul.
That's right.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate speaking with the both of y'all. I'm looking forward to
Absolutely. What
you guys have coming up in the future and the movie that you guys are putting out. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And as we are being well over time now, I would like to ask Barbara, who is hosting prayer calls for this month, to pray for the Mulligan movie, the Rick's and Michael's movie, and then we'll ask Rick to pray for all of us and wrap up the call. Barbara,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you
okay,
so much.
Okay, Father. Sure. Father, I just thank you for Rick and Michael and for the difference they're making. I thank you, Lord, that the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And Lord, we worship you, we exalt you and magnify you. And Lord, I just pray that the kingdom authority on them will spread across the nation and around the globe. Mm. I pray, Lord, that your word will go forth. It won't return void. We ask your blessing on this movie, on this project, that it will touch and transform the hearts of the people working on the project, but that will also transform the people that attend the movie. And Lord, I just pray that you would knock down and remove every obstacle that gets in the way of advertising and venues, and that you'd put it in every venue possible, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for every person on this call, and I thank you for that we're each in our own way, in our own path, ambassadors for you, and the most important job that we have is to represent you in all that we do. And Father, I pray that as we do that, we will seek you first, that in our daily walk, that we will acknowledge you, and that we'll acknowledge you first, and that you will direct our paths. We love you, and we thank you, and we praise you, Lord, that you've given us the privileges and the opportunities that you have. Thank you for this time, and We just glorify your name today. Bless each and every person on this call, and bless all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. I will say this: if you want to learn more about the Mulligan and talk about it in your areas, and specifically to know who and what to pray for, you can just go to themulliganmovie.com. And we have a website that will navigate you through everything that's going on, what we're doing, who's involved, and even where to get tickets in theaters. But very, very much value your prayer and prayer warriors that can really go before us, because this message is a strong, strong message of faith, and we expect opposition. We just expect it, because God will be glorified and lifted up. So thank you all for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Rick. Good night again.
Thank you.
Thank you.